The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Quintessential phase.
According to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there are rules that determine the reaction of most life forms to emerging technologies. One, anything that is in your world when you're born is normal and ordinary and is just a natural part of the way things work. Two, anything that's invented in the first third of your lifespan is new and exciting and revolutionary, and you can probably get a career in it. Three, anything invented once you are middle-aged is against the natural order of things. The guide goes on to say, goes on.
Please wait. This entry is being updated over the sub-Ethernet. The system will be down for a measurable period.
Go away! I've been pestered by squirrels all night. They keep on trying to give me magazines and face wipes.
Arthur, is this anywhere near where your ship crashed?
Yes.
Well, it happens. Ship's cabin robots get destroyed. The cyberminds that control them survive and infest the local wildlife. Can turn a whole ecosystem into some kind of helpless service industry, handing out hot towels and drinks to passers-by. By the way, who was that young woman who cracked me over the head and stole my spaceship?
My daughter.
Beg your pardon?
My daughter, Ford.
Is there a mother involved?
Trillian.
Trillian? She told me once she had a kid, but I didn't think...
No. I was financing my travel with donations to sperm banks.
And she made an early withdrawal.
I was hoping it might become a standing order. Ford, what are you doing on Lamuella?
Phew, long story. I was coming to pick up a parcel I'd sent to myself, care of you. It's something unimaginably dangerous.
So you sent it to me?
You're the one person I could rely on to be absolutely boring and not open it. Except that your daughter's got it now.
Got what?
The new guide, the bird. She's made off with it and with my ship. And when I say my ship, I mean an RW6.
A what?
An RW6, for Zark's sake. I've got this great new relationship going between my credit card and the guide's central computer, and she's stolen my ride. Oh, there must be some way off this Sarking planet.
We could sit around and wait for a passing spacecraft, I suppose.
Oh, yes, and how many spacecraft have visited this flea pit recently?
Well, mine came here. Well, crashed here a few years ago. Then Trillian, of course, and the parcel delivery, and you, and... Oh, you're right. That's it.
This is important, Arthur.
And my daughter's out there all alone in the galaxy.
Can we feel sorry for the galaxy later? It's the guide I'm worried about. It's been taken over, changed beyond all recognition.
Oh. I'm incoherent with excitement. Please tell me what fascinating bit of badger, sputumly inconsequential trivia you'll assail me with next.
I leapt out of a high-rise window.
No chance of you doing it again.
I did. The first time I managed to save myself with the help of a security robot I reprogrammed, called Colin.
And having saved yourself very cleverly once, you very sensibly went and jumped again.
Naturally, and fell straight into the open cockpit of a passing jet town car whose pilot had inadvertently pushed the eject button instead of changing tracks on the stereo. Even I couldn't think that that was particularly clever of me.
Oh, I don't know. I expect you probably sneaked into his jet car the previous night and set it to play the pilot's least favourite track or something.
No, I didn't. Though, coincidentally, somebody else did. And this is the nub. You could trace the chain of coincidences back. Turned out, the new guide had done it. It's not an electronic book anymore. It's a bird.
What bird?
The one your daughter is rampaging through the cosmos with. Looks pretty, talks big, uses temporal reverse engineering, the way Zaphod mixes gargle blasters. Arthur, nobody understands what's been unleashed here.
Oh. Would that explain the Earth?
What Earth?
A huge hologram projected onto the rain last night. The Earth. Lots of Earths. Like a string of sausages projected in the sky.
Sounds like it was explaining the infinitely multitudinous possibilities of your planet to your daughter. Blow up one, another pops into existence. Handy, but confusing.
Oh, I think I've got...
An idea?
A sandwich. You eat perfectly normal beast, don't you?
Not come across that one. When I found the bird, the guide Mark II, it put on the most fantastic multi-dimensional display I've ever seen. It then said that it would put its services at my disposal in my universe, whether I liked it or not. I said we'd see about that, and it said that we would. That's when I packed it up and sent it to you for safety.
Whose safety?
Then, what with one thing and another, my best option seemed to be jumping out of the window again, being fresh out of other options at the time. Did I mention the passing jet car? Anyway, whether I liked it or not, the guide was now working for me. And if you've got the guide, you think that you're the one it's working for. Any more sandwiches?
Have my crusts. But now, my daughter has the bird, the guide.
She's the next one in the chain who'll think that everything is going fabulously for her. Until she's done, whatever it is, then it'll all be up for her, too. The new guide uses unfiltered perception. Do you know what that means?
Me? I've been making sandwiches, for Bob's sake.
Unfiltered... Who's Bob?
Never mind.
Okay, the bird, the new guide, perceives everything. We don't. And because it perceives every possible universe, the bird is present in every possible universe, existing in total perspective. So they only have to make one of it for everybody to have one. Yes?
Ish.
With unfiltered perception, any move it makes has the power of a virus. It propagates across distance, time, and a million other dimensions, which means that somewhere there is one key instruction. But where's the final application? You know what this means, Arthur?
Sorry, I nodded off for a moment.
Think about this. You know who I saw at the guide offices? Vogons. The Vogons are behind this.
Good grief. Of course.
Oh, good. I've said a word you understand at last. But do you know who I found trapped inside their virtual accounting software?
That noise!
The thunder.
It isn't thunder. It's the spring migration of the perfectly normal beasts. It started early.
What are these animals you keep on about?
Our ticket off the planet.
What?
Cup of tea, Miss McMillan.
What's it say on the door?
Do not disturb.
No, below that.
Go away.
Thank you.
Is there a problem? I'm not with you.
You are. That's the problem.
Yes, Miss McMillan.
Thank you.
This is Tricia McMillan reporting from the surface of the planet Rupert.
No. The stuff in the ship going there first.
Rupert. In something like 7 of your Earth hours.
Hours.
Which means you must have some form of propulsion unknown to us on Earth.
Oh, you mean is it a warp drive or something like that? You'd have to ask our flight engineer, Mr. Scott.
Scotty.
Which one is he?
We don't know. We've all lost our minds, you see.
Who's gonna believe this?
This is Rupert, the home of the Grebulons. It may look to you, the viewer, like a bunch of slightly thin and discolored people sitting around watching televisions that show reruns of MASH and the Rockford Files.
I'll be laughed out of the business.
This is clearly alien technology on a dramatic scale. Huge gray buildings under the dark canopy of a clear pressure dome.
Could be a studio set from just about any low-budget science fiction movie.
And here comes the Grebulon leader.
Looking like some guy in costume and makeup standing in front of a cheap cardboard set.
Hello?
Leader.
Miss McMillan. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy your shows on TV. I am your greatest fan. I'm so glad you have been able to visit us on Rupert. And help us triangulate our astrological position. Here is the book I want you to use.
Book.
You and Your Planets by Gail Andrews.
There's nothing of any use here at all. Oh, my God. I left astronomical research because I couldn't prove that a glamorous alien with two heads once tried to pick me up at a party. I switched careers to TV, and now I dream up an alien race of people stuck on a remote outpost of our solar system, filling their cultural vacuum with our media junk. It's happened again. I have no recollection of faking any of this, but if I ever show this to anybody, I'll be a laughingstock. Wait a minute. What are those? What is it?
Miss McMillan, it's an alien spaceship.
What?
An alien spaceship in Regent's Park. Some girl with a funny-looking bird keeps asking for you.
For me?
There's a taxi outside with a camera crew.
Where's my bag? Oh, never mind. No, wait, look. That freeze frame, do those buildings look like huge gun turrets to you?
Yes. What is it? The Sci-Fi Channel?
Never mind. Just keep the door locked.
Many, many light years from anywhere lies the abandoned planet of Vogsphere. Somewhere on its fetid, fog-bound mud banks stands, surrounded by the broken and empty carapaces of its last few jeweled scuttling crabs, a stone monument which marks the place where it is thought the species Bogon vogonblurtus first arose. On the monument is carved an arrow which points away into the fog, under which are inscribed the words, "The buck stops there." There, in this instance, is the flagship of Prostetnik Vogon Jeltz's constructor fleet.
People of Tzvazia are there. This is Prostetnik Vogon Jeltz of the Intergalactic Hyperspace Planning Council. The plans for development of the outlying regions of the galaxy...
The captain's job all comes down, in essence, to one instruction.
Regrettably, your planet is one of those scheduled for demolition. Oh, I love that job.
Shall I just press the button?
No, not that button, sir. That's the blow-us-up button.
To avoid that.
He is to put a tick in a box on a checklist when he has carried it out.
Particle cannon!
Particle cannon. Aye, sir.
Make it so.
He has carried out the instruction once before, but a number of troublesome circumstances have prevented him from putting the tick in the box. One of them is the plural nature of this galactic sector, where anything you demolish keeps on reappearing. That will soon be taken care of.
Back to the Earth.
Aye, sir!
Another problem has been the irritating and anarchic device called the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That is now well and truly taken care of.
Coming together just like Mother said.
And through temporal reverse engineering, its successor is the agency through which everything else will be taken care of, including a small group of people who continually refuse to be where they are supposed to be when they are supposed to be there. Particularly the two who are stranded on the planet Lamuella.
Wave the towel higher! Flick it! Careful! Don't get run over!
This isn't working! We'll be killed if we try to jump onto a stampeding, perfectly normal beast. Well, you will!
Pardon?
Ford, have you ever heard of Stavromula Beta?
Don't think so. How do you spell it?
Oh, no. You remember I told you about Agrajag?
You mean the guy who was convinced you were getting him killed over and over again?
Yes. One of the places he claimed I'd got him killed is called Stavromula Beta. Someone tries to shoot me, it seems. I duck, and Agrajag, or one of his many reincarnations, gets hit. It seems that this has definitely happened at some point in time. So, I suppose I can't get killed, at least until after I've ducked on Stavromula Beta.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bet my life on stopping a 1.5-ton perfectly normal beast armed with nothing but a towel.
But they are a way out of here. They gallop up this plane, turn by the hills at the far end, and just disappear. And they return at the next migration.
Well, it certainly looks like it might be some kind of evidence of dimensional drift.
Which is what?
A multidimensional nexus intersecting this planet.
Which means we can ride our way out of here.
Exactly. But waving that towel around like a matador isn't going to do it. You've got to flick it more. You need more follow-through from the elbow.
What about you? You need more suppleness in the wrist.
You need more after flourish.
You need a bigger towel.
You need a peckerbird.
What? Hello, old Thrashbark.
To attract the attention of a perfectly normal beast, you need a peckerbird. Like this.
The bird he's holding. What is it?
A peckerbird. Its eggs make rather a good omelette. The secret is whipping them lightly.
I don't want a Zarking recipe. I just want to be sure it's a real bird and not a multidimensional cyber nightmare.
So... is it written that Bob shall once more take back unto himself the benediction of his once-given sandwich maker?
He's balmy, isn't he?
He always talks like this. Ah, venerable Thrashbark. I'm afraid I'm going to have to be popping off now. But young Drimple, my apprentice, will be a fine sandwich maker in my stead.
Oh, sandwich maker from Bob.
Yes?
Life will be a very great deal less weird without you.
Do you know, I think that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Old man, where do these beasts go?
To the domain of the king.
What king?
Come! Let us show the bird to the beasts. Then you will ride there.
Trillion Astra! I want to see Trillion Astra!
Just step away from the flying saucer, please, miss.
Come a step closer, and I'll throw this rock at your head!
We can't locate a Trillion Astra.
I told you before. Her Earth name is Tricia McMillan. I know she's here.
Random.
Yes, little bird?
Say the word, and I can make him go away. Forever.
No, don't.
Then I'm needed elsewhere.
No! Where did you go? Where's my bird? Keep away! All of you!
How's my hair? Yeah? No shiny? How's that? Good. Turn over.
Recording. Take one. No sleep.
Cue in 3, 2, 1. This is Tricia McMillan reporting from Regent's Park, where an astonishing sight has brought London to a standstill. I'm just moving up to the barriers to see if I can have a word with a teenage girl who has just arrived in a spaceship.
You!
Hello! Can I just ask, are you from Zaphod?
You can change your hair color and your accent and hide here, but you're still my mother!
What?
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite so stupid in my life.
Shh! They fascinate the beasts! Bob knows why. And once a perfectly normal beast is fascinated, it becomes docile. But not for long. Get on the beast. All right, both of you.
Yuck!
How can something so delicious smell so rank?
You've obviously never met Eccentrica Glumbits.
No, sandwich maker! Go!
Hold tight, Arthur!
Can you see anything?
No!
Go! Ride that beast! Ride that perfectly normal beast to the domain of the king!
What king?
He just said the king!
I didn't know there was a the king!
Nor did I! Hold tight, for goodness sake!
Except, of course, for the king, and he obviously didn't mean him.
What king?
I'm only saying that if he didn't mean the king, I don't know what he means.
Look out! Here comes the end of the valley!
Are you sure we're doing the right thing?
No! But wherever these animals vanish to, we're about to find out!
Hold on! Hey! We did it! Oh, jump! Are you in one piece?
Where are we?
The domain of the king. Look.
The domain of the king, bar and grill. Not sure if that's irony or anticlimax.
Are you kidding? Look at these spaceships parked outside. The pink one. I'm buying that spaceship.
It's all chrome and fins.
That's class. I'll teach them to make me a restaurant critic.
What do you mean?
The old dino charge car. Let's go run up some expenses.
What can I do for you, gents?
Couple of beers, a couple of bacon rolls, that pink thing outside, and whatever you're having yourself.
Not sure that pink thing's for sale.
Sure it is. How much you want?
It ain't mine to sell.
So whose?
Good-looking dude with the band. Dark hair, gold suit.
Wait here, Arthur. Mm-hmm. Keep the tab open.
New here, son?
Me? Just rode into town.
Yeah, nice weather for it.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Okay, it's cool. We got the pink thing.
He's selling it to you?
Giving it to us for free.
Jeepers.
You know, Arthur, it's at times like this that I feel that what the big guy says is right.
Which big guy?
The one at the mic. Let it all go, is what he said. Take the ship. Take it with my blessing. Be good to him.
How many beers have you had?
But then you think of guys like Infinidim Enterprises and you think they are not going to get away with it. It is my sacred and holy duty to see those guys suffer.
Hill and Mara, switch on the stage lights, man.
You got it, King.
Hey, Arthur, how many singers does it take to change a light bulb?
One, two. One, two.
Bartender, let me put something on the tab for the singer. I asked for a special request.
How much?
Well, I was thinking...
Is he all right?
Just needed to take the weight off his feet.
Ford, will that ship get us to Earth?
Sure will.
Oh, no. Lend me your guide.
Here.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Earth.
Earth. Mostly harmless.
It's there. The Earth is still there. That's where Random will be going. The bird was showing her the Earth in the rainstorm.
Quiet, Arthur. I paid to hear this song.
Our lovely world, so lovely. And everything so nice.
Ford, are you crying?
And everyone so happy.
Dust in my eye.
Beneath the ink black.
We have to go.
Not till I've reviewed the restaurant.
Write a review. Please.
Filing the review validates the expenses claim. Okay. The beer is good and cold, local wildlife nicely eccentric. The bar singer is, without exaggeration, the best in the known universe. And that's about it. Zabitha send. Doesn't need much, just a validation. And this bill is going to need some validating.
How much did you tip the singer?
More money than the Colonel made for him in an entire career of doing rubbish movies and casino gigs. Just for doing what he does best, singing in a bar. And he negotiated it himself. With any luck, this is a good moment for him and a very bad one for Infinidim Enterprises. You love those flowers so. We're out of here. Thanks, Al.
Hey, take it easy for me. Y'all come back now.
Let's flash the plastic and see what that pink thing can do.
You summoned us, Captain Picard?
Yes, Lieutenant Kojak. I am troubled.
Huh?
Our mission was a watching brief, but I'm bored with monitoring the Earth, to be honest. I am bored with Cagney and Lacey. I am bored with the Tribbles episode of classic Star Trek. I am bored with not knowing who I am and having to pick a new name out of an old TV guide every morning.
At least now we can work out our astrological charts. That gives us work to do, yes, and a plan to follow.
But all the other equipment with us must have some purpose. If only we hadn't lost our minds when the meteorite wiped out our data banks. We need a purpose, and the TV and the PlayStation are not enough.
Has something happened?
Yes. Miss Macmillan helped us recalculate the movement of the planets. And now my stars foretell that I am about to have a very bad month if I don't take positive action. Today. Because today, Earth is starting to rise into Capricorn. And as a classic Taurus, this is indeed ominous for me.
So you're going to take positive action?
I have decided to investigate the astrological potential of our gun turrets.
Gun turrets!
Have Huggy Bear and the two Ronnies link the targeting circuits to the astrology computer tracking Earth.
Aye, aye, Captain.
It is as you wished, Prostetnik Bogon Jeltz.
Reverse temporal engineering at its finest, little bird. You have served us very well, and very often. Are the displaced persons all on Earth?
They will be reunited within minutes. And the Grebulons are arming their multidimensional disruptors.
You have fulfilled your function. And I can shortly put a tick on my checklist without further outlay of billable resources. Now, show me the Earths, all of them. I want to see this for myself. Ah, the blue and green watery tube of Earth in all its dimensions.
Closing brackets, parsing clauses, endifs, halting repeat loops, calling recursive functions, preparing to force quit, engaging total perspective vortex.
A second spacecraft, this time pink, was reported to have landed on Portland Place in central London. Its two human occupants booked rooms at and subsequently bought the Langham Hilton Hotel. Shortly afterwards, a smaller, single-person craft, bearing a lone female occupant, landed without incident in the Embankment Gardens. Meanwhile, scientists have reported a surge of energy.
How did you buy London Zoo?
Room service. We had a room and I wanted service. All the animals that can be safely returned to the wild are going to be released. They promised on reception to set up some good teams of people to monitor their progress. Apparently, their concierge can get you anything.
And all on a Hitchhiker's Guide Dino charge card?
Yes. I suppose I should be worried that it works on this planet. Foie gras?
No, thanks. I always feel bad about foie gras. A bit cruel to the geese.
Sod the geese. You can't care about every damn thing. Next left, driver.
You know where this club is?
Stavros. Well, I've been to his original club in New York. I knew he was opening one here. When your daughter stopped chucking rocks at Trillian and demanded to be taken clubbing, it was pretty easy to find out which one she'd be taken to.
But it's not Trillian, is it? It's Tricia Macmillan.
We're agents, number 42.
Keep the change. Come on, Arthur. Family reunion. Down here.
Reminds me of the Starship Bistromath.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Oh, can I squeeze past?
I thought I told you not to come here.
What?
Not you, him.
Me? But I'm sorry.
I think he must have mistaken you for someone else.
Ford, he's still staring at me.
Now what?
What did you say?
I said now what?
I'm trying desperately to remember which drug I've just taken. It must be one of those, which means you can't remember.
Try the men's room.
Yes.
Come on, Arthur.
I don't like places like this, Ford. For all of my dreams of Earth and home, I miss my hut on Lamuella and my knives and my sandwiches. I even miss old Thrashbark.
Arthur? Arthur?
Trillian? Trisha?
Both, it seems.
Somebody please tell me what's going on and who that woman is.
All of you, stop!
Arthur, the gun your daughter is holding was in the ship she stole from me. It's a Wabanata 3, very dangerous. Let's just everybody stay calm and find out what's the matter.
I thought I would fit here on the world that made me. But it turns out that even my mother doesn't know who I am.
Random, I'm here.
All right, joke over. Where's the hidden camera?
Shut up! You abandoned me!
Random, it's very important that you listen to me. We must leave. We must all leave now.
What are you talking about? We're always leaving!
This is not your home. You don't have one. We none of us have. The war I left you to report on, the missing ship that didn't turn up, is here, in this solar system. And its crew are lost and frightened and about to do something very misguided because they also have no home. We've got to go.
It's all right, Trillian. If I'm here, we're safe. Nothing can happen to me till I go to Stavromila Beta, okay?
Arthur, keep talking. That man who recognized you on the stairs, I think he's going for the gun.
What are you saying?
Let's all just relax.
I'll take that.
No! Wait!
Random!
No!
Arthur, duck!
Are you all right?
You.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
it. It was an accident.
Arthur, we need to leave now.
We're safe, Trillian. There's time to sort out this mess.
Really? Have you looked at the name of this club?
It's Stavros Club, isn't it?
Here. Look at the menu cover.
Trillian, how can you think of food at a... Oh, my God.
The landlord's name is Stavro Müller. His first club in New York was named Alpha. This is his second club.
Stavro Müller Beta.
Oh, that's good. Very good.
Well, thank Bob that's over.
Who's Bob?
The sensor is being updated over the sub-ethernet.
System will be down to measure.
The babelfish is small, yellow, leech-like, and probably the oddest thing in the universe. It feeds on brainwave energy, absorbing conscious frequencies and nerve signals picked up from the speech centers of the brain. The practical upshot of which is that if you stick one in your ear, you instantly understand anything said to you in any form of language. Another ability evolved by the babelfish is its tactic for self-preservation. Only one other aquatic creature in the universe has developed the babelfish's capacity for continuous probability transference in the picosecond before unavoidable destruction. Thus, as Earth's plural zone folds itself away like a card table after a particularly energetic hand of snap, the babelfishes, their hosts, and any cetaceans in the vicinity simultaneously flick into existence in any alternative realities. In the case of Arthur Dent, this leads to several probabilities. One has been in existence for many years, and in the master bathroom aboard the Heart of Gold...
Oh, last. Eddie! Eddie!
Hey there, monkey in the shower! Water too hot? Too cold? You'd prefer ass's milk, baby?
I've run out of shampoo. Can you ask Lintella to bring some in?
Pleased to be of service.
You wanted shampoo, Arthur?
Gosh, thanks, Lintella. That was quick.
Would you like us to scrub your back?
Who's us?
Well, there are now over 800,000 million Lintella clones in the Brantis Fogan Escort Agency.
Good grief.
And I thought I'd invite a few of my sisters aboard.
Pleased you to mind? Be of service.
Oh, this is nice. You shaving nervous.
Wow. Eddie, more hot water, quick!
No problem, Capitano!
Another Arthur pops up in another time, when yet another Earth hung like a blue opal in this corner of the galaxy.
come off it, Mr. Dent. You can't win, you know. There's no point in lining the path of progress.
I've gone off the idea of progress. It's overrated.
But you must realise you can't line the path of the bulldozers indefinitely.
I'm game. We'll see who rusts first. Won't we, Fenchurch?
Get stuffed, Prosser. This is our cottage.
But perhaps the alternative that best suits the Babelfishes and their hosts is the convivial safety of a location and a time far, far removed from any uncertainty, improbability or sobriety. An infinite loop of bistromathics where dinner guests wait patiently for each other to turn up.
Welcome, welcome one and all to Millerways, the restaurant at the end of the universe. I'm Max Quarterpleen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome the disciples of the Great Green Ark of Seizure. Are you in tonight?
Yes, they are.
Do we have with us the minor deities from the halls of Asgard?
Ford, last question, I promise. Uh-huh. But if the Babelfish is so versatile, how come it's never saved my life, our lives, before?
You didn't die before.
So what happened to us? How were we saved?
Ah, well, our scrape with death took place in a plural zone where organic life forms in the vicinity of a Babelfish share its kinetic bridge to all available dimensions and are transported too. The only other life forms who can make the jump are dolphins. Haven't you noticed what's outside the restaurant for miles and miles in every direction?
Thousands of interlinked blue lagoons glowing under the stars.
Filled with dolphins at play.
The dolphins learned how to jump dimensions from the Babelfish. In return, the Babelfish learnt a thing or two about where to have a good time from the dolphins, quid pro quo. Pass that old Jack Spirit, eh, Ford?
One for you, Ford, baby. Two for me.
Here's to the look on Trillian's face when she merged with Trisha.
It was weird. One minute she was there, we were there. The next, it felt like we were two drops of water joining into one.
I like you with blonde hair, mind.
Come on, monkey man. Hurry up with that menu. I'm hungrier than a bug bladder beast in a weight loss clinic.
You'll have to wait. Random's having a problem with the dish of the day.
Oh, please eat me. Might be delicious with pepper sauce.
Oh, I want the veggie option.
Waitress, can you bring over a talking cauliflower?
Yes, sir, I will. Oh, is there a Mr. Beeblebrox on this table?
Good grief.
Dad? What is it?
Fenchurch.
Arthur! Hi! I wonder when you'd turn up.
Oh, phone call for you, Mr. Beeblebrox. Where did you go?
I searched for months!
I thought I'd wait for you.
Well, how did you know I'd come back?
Well, this seemed as good a place as any.
Yes, but here? It's amazing.
I know.
Why am I made?
Yep.
This is the car park. You ordered a babe wash for your ship. Due to staff shortages, I am your babe.
Marvin! I thought you were dead.
Seems I was still under warranty. Sorry to disappoint you. Sorrier than you can possibly imagine.
You're still parking cars here?
Spend a few thousand million years in a job and eventually you get promoted. I have my own bucket now. Finally, I am somebody.
Okay, Metal Man. How about giving the heart of gold a hot wax with full valet?
That depends on whether or not I can find my frilly apron. With my luck, I probably can.
Waiter, a bottle of champagne to the beautiful lady on table 42. With my compliments.
Oh, is that Thor? Kawee! Thor!
She could argue astrophysics with Einstein, but a set of biceps and a big hammer can instantly reduce her IQ to single numbers.
And we have with us here tonight a party of believers from the Church of the Second Coming of the great prophet Zarquan. And boy, are we in luck tonight. Looky, 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 he's here in person. A big hand, please, for the great prophet Zarquan!
Oh, how very kind, yes. At last, an opportunity to say a few words on my own behalf to all who have taken my name in vain.
Just a moment, please.
Yes?
Prophet Zarquan, you are the last on my list. You are a tiresome, goggle-eyed pillock.
A wowbagger, the infinitely prolonged...
Yes?
You are a whinging sack of parrot droppings. And no longer immortal.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Norse gods... As everything draws to a close yet again, let's all join together in the time-honored way.
To all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. To all acquaintance.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, Peter Jones and William Franklin were the book, and Rula Lenska was the voice of the bird. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent, Geoffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Mark Wing Davy, Zaphod Beeblebrox, Susan Sheridan, Trillian, Sandra Dickinson was Tricia McMillan, Sam Bayar, Random, and Stephen Moore was Marvin. Griff Rhys-Jones was Old Thrashbug, Roger Gregg played the bartender, Michael Kuehl, the Vogon helmsman, Dominic Hawksley, Thor, Andy Taylor, Grebulon leader, and Michael Fenton Stevens was the Grebulon lieutenant. Philip Pope was Elvis, Tom Maggs, the runner, Bruce Hyman, Prosser, and Toby Longworth was Prostechnik Vogon Jeltz. Neil Sleet played the newsreader. Roy Hudd was Max Quadlepleen, and Agra Jag was Douglas Adams. The announcer was John Marsh, the surround mix was by Paul Dealey, and additional effects by Ken Humphrey and Paul Weir. The script editor was John Langdon, and the music was by Paul Wicks Wickens. The production manager was Joe Wheeler, and the production assistant was Susie Matthews. The programme was adapted, directed and co-produced by Dirk Maggs, and the producers were Helen Chatwell and Bruce Hyman. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4, and it is affectionately dedicated to its author. Now here's a public information message. The large yellow Vogon ships hanging overhead are an hallucination. Do not be alarmed. There is nothing to worry about. Just pour yourself several large drinks and open a packet of peanuts. You're going to need them.
Got 'em. Where's the list?
Here, sir.
Tick in the box. Good. Helmsman?
Aye, sir.
Prostechnik Vogon Jeltz.
There you are. Set course for Eroticon 6. Time for a spot of shore leave with Eccentrica Galumbit. Before we blow her planet up.
When do you get off work?
Just after the apocalypse.
Will you come flying with me?
Always.